Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub addresses an important topic.
When I say the word submission in church, it's almost like a four-letter word that I'm saying from the pulpit to Christians. Because oftentimes when we talk about submission in the church, we talk about it as we're going to put you down, trample on you, let people walk all over you because you're worthless. And that's not what submission is. And we're going to take a look at what submission is and who we're called to submit to. And then listen to this, what the benefits are for submission.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Political matters seem to be encroaching more and more into our private lives. For some people, that can lead to a lot of frustration. So if you've ever found yourself feeling at odds with your own authorities and wondered what God wants you to do about it, you don't want to miss today's edition of Brave. We're learning more about opposition and obedience and what to do when we feel our leaders aren't leading well. Our message comes from our current series in the book of 1 Peter called Christians in Crisis. And you can revisit any of these messages or share them with friends at bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with today's message, Benefits of Submission.
And so if you have your Bibles, I encourage you this morning to open up to the book of 1 Peter. We're going to begin in chapter 2, verse 11. We're actually going to finish the entire chapter because it's giving us an entire thought block of what he tells us that we need to be doing. And as we look at this today, there's really four areas that God is going to call us to submit and what the benefits of that is. That's right, I said the word submit. Today we're going to talk about submission. And so if you have your Bible open to 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll go through each of these four sections one at a time. And here's the first one, verses 11 and 12. He says this, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." This is his first thought on submission, who we are to submit to, and what the benefits of this submission are. And the first one is this, submission to the Holy Spirit glorifies God. If you submit to the Holy Spirit, you will have the most full, robust, rewarding life. And it doesn't take away trials, and it doesn't take away pain, but what it does do is fill you with incredible joy on the inside, knowing that you're bringing God the most glory. Amen? Submission, isn't it great? All right, submission to the Holy Spirit glorifies God. Notice what he says next. You're gonna love this one. Submission to civil authority silences the critic. Submission to civil authority silences the critic. Notice what God says. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Do you see that in your Bible? I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. It doesn't say to the institutions that you deem worthy that are Christian. No. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake. So what's the motivation? I'm not doing this for me. I'm not doing this because I want to. I'm not doing this because I agree with every decision they're making. I am, for the Lord's sake and for his reputation, submitting myself to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Submit to all civil authority. How do you like that one? The only exception I ever see in Scripture is if the government mandates something that goes against the word of God. But be very careful and make sure you have solid scriptural support. And even when you do, and you go against, and you have civil disobedience, and you're doing it for the Lord, then do it in such a way where you're ready to take the punishment for what you're doing too, right? Because some of us, well, I'm gonna go against the government, and I'm gonna form a rally, and I'm gonna form a faction, and we're gonna... If you're going to do that for the Lord's sake, then how do you do it? You do it with all gentleness. You do it with all respect. You do it because of your conviction. And you're willing to take the punishment for what you stood up to do, because that will honor the Lord too. Okay? He says, "For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men." See, here's the problem. Most Christians, we want to open our mouth and tell everybody why the government's wrong and why everything else is wrong. Sometimes if we just shut up, and just do the right things and use our tongues to promote the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I'm submitting to governing authorities because that's what Jesus would ask me to do, and I love Jesus so I can honor leadership that thinks differently than me, it would have more of an impact than just shouting and being against everybody that doesn't think just like you. Amen? That's why he says in verse 16, look at this. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves for God. There's a benefit. You silence your critics when you do that. Who here wants to glorify God and silence their critics? Here's what you do. You submit to the Holy Spirit and you submit to civil authority. Number three, you do this. You find that submission to any authority finds favor with God. Verse 17 is really a hinge verse between what he's been talking about. Notice what he says. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We could do a whole message on this. Honor means to show preference to. Show preference to all people. Now, all would include all. That's saved and unsaved. That means everywhere you go, every conversation you have, every person you talk to, you're going to treat them that they're more valuable than you. That's what it means to honor all people. That's the call. I mean, that's God's word. This is coming from the throne room of heaven saying, here's how I want you to live. Honor all people. Then he says this, fear God. Fear God. Well, why are we to do that? Because God's the one telling us to honor all people and love the brotherhood, and you should be more careful about what God thinks than about what everybody else thinks. I want to love all people and honor them. I want to love the brotherhood. I want to fear God. And notice what he says, honor the king. Honor the king. Now, if you think that's hard in our day for the president of the United States, think about what it was like in the first century. And Nero was emperor at the time. You know what he did? He would dip Christians in wax and light them on fire and use them as candles at his parties. Like, so this guy you're supposed to honor as the king is somebody who's probably killed somebody that you know very personally. And here's what God says. So honor him too. Show him preference. What? What has he ever done to earn my honor? Because God established him as king. So you honor him. Do you see how hard this is? It is impossible without the Holy Spirit. But this is what God's called us as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we find favor with God. Notice what he says in verse 18. Servants, slaves. Majority of the first century people that were reading this were servants or slaves. Probably 80 to 90% of the people. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect. Okay? Students, be submissive to your teachers with all respect. Athletes, be submissive to your coaches with all respect. Employees, be submissive to all your employers with all respect. Not only to those who are good and gentle, not only to the ones that you like, not only to the ones that like you, but notice this, but also to those who are unreasonable. Notice what the next verse says. For this finds favor. Keep in mind this, when you think about your life, we live in America, so we're always thinking about what's in it for me and what's my next goal and how am I gonna get there and how's this gonna happen? When God looks down from heaven, who has your future, and sees that you're submissive and honoring to leadership in the place that you're at, especially when it's uncomfortable, what does he do? He gives you favor. You want more of God's grace? You want more of God's power? You want more of God opening doors for you? Submit. Here's the truth. If you can't follow, you'll never be able to lead. If you can't follow, you can't lead. Many people walk into an organization, be it a church, a business, or whatever, they get there day one and they start giving their verbal resume or their written one. Here's what I can do for you. I'm awesome. Let me show you what I can do. All right? How about this? Go clean our bathrooms for about 6 months. How about this? Go serve in children's for about 6 months. How about this? Go be part of a small group where somebody else is leading that you don't like for about 6 months. Let's see that you have the spiritual tenacity and maturity to be under someone that's different than you, that doesn't lead like you. If you can submit, I know you can lead. If you can't, I know you're going to be a pain for everybody that you rule over, right? Who can submit? Well, we don't like that because guess what? That takes time and pain, two things we don't want to give up. But you give up time and pain, God will elevate you. I mean, think about all the stories in the Bible that you like. I mean, Joseph did everything God asked him to do. He's one of the few men in the Bible that you can make a case that was moral and had moral excellence. And what happens to him? He gets thrown in prison for a period of years because he did what was right. Did God see him? God saw him in prison. God knew he was going to elevate him. And he continued to submit while he was in prison. And one day God made him number two in the nation and had his brothers come and even bow to him. You will get to where you're going through submission, not by putting people down. If you step on people to get where you're going, people will step on you later. You will reap what you sow. When you submit the Lord's way and say, okay, God, this is the situation I'm in. I'm doing it your way. I'm going to do it the way you want. And this is totally uncomfortable. It feels like a waste of time. And this is terrible. You'll learn lessons along the way that when you're in leadership, you'll do differently. Submission. You want to get to where you're going? Submit. It finds favor with God. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. When you submit, there are times where you will suffer unjustly. You'll just be uncomfortable. If you're an athlete, I promise you, in your tenure of an athlete, you'll have a coach that's terrible. You'll have a coach that plays somebody else instead of you. You'll have a coach that personally picks on you. If you're in school for a long enough period of time, you'll have a teacher that doesn't like you, that will make things hard for you, that will put you down. If you're in the workforce, you will have a boss that is no good, that will treat you poorly. These are all opportunities from the Lord to grow your spiritual strength. God is sovereign. None of these things are happening by accident. And when you're submitted to the Holy Spirit and submitted to the authority over you, it finds favor. Why do you think that the first commandment for children is honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth? It doesn't mean, hey, kids, your parents are always right. They always do the best. They're always, unless you're my kids. But in, not true. Not true at all. It doesn't mean that parents are always right. It doesn't mean that you even were born into a good family. It doesn't mean you even had two parents. But because they're an authority, when God looks down from heaven and says, because of your love for me, you're submitting to them, and they're not even doing it right, but you're doing it because you know that honors me, God will open up doors for that person. He will open them up. If God sees a humble, submissive person, he'll always open doors eventually. It just won't happen on your time frame. Because we're microwave people. We want the thing done like tomorrow. I submitted today. I did what she wanted me to do, and she was a real pain in the rear. So when do I get the promotion? Like in 5 years. Like there's things I was praying in my 20s that I see God answering now, right? And I'm kind of getting old. I mean, sometimes it takes a while for God to take you on that journey, but you're never wrong by submitting to the Lord and by submitting to authority, right? For what credit is there, he says in verse 20. If when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience. He's like, what is it to you? Like, if you sin and people treat you bad, like, what benefit is that? Like, if you cheat your boss and you're caught cheating and you're fired and you're like, oh, I'm suffering so much. No, you cheated. You stole from your boss. You got fired. That's a consequence. You know, what benefit is that? But notice what he says. But let's say you treat your boss with honor. But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. You treat your boss right. You treat your boss with excellence. You're there early. You stay late. You're serving him. They give somebody else the promotion, and you're devastated because it was a big raise, and you didn't get seen. Let me tell you who saw it. Jesus saw it, and he's seeing how you respond to it, and he's saying, I saw what you did, and I still have your back, and don't you worry. I'll right all the wrongs. I'll make it right. Just stay in faith with me. He's not your future. I am. He doesn't hold your promotion, I do. When you do the right things, you give God the opportunity to show up in areas that you never thought. I mean, I think about 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it says this, he who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. Most of us think that our authority holds our future, they don't. Like if you blame authority for why you're not where you are, you don't understand who Jesus Christ is in your life. Well, my pastor puts me down, I never get to get here. My boss does this, my parents do, you don't get it. You don't get it. Nobody holds your future but God. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. And if God has you in a situation that's uncomfortable, it's only because he's building spiritual muscle and tenacity for where he's about ready to take you. So serve faithfully where you're at. That's the word. Amen? Three of you are excited about that word, but that's okay because God's excited about that word. I mean, and this is why it's hard. I mean, as a pastor, I mean, my wife can tell you, I mean, there's really not a time I tune out. I mean, even on vacation, it's hard for me to turn off what's going on here. I think about it 24/7. And yet, even while I'm first among equals among our elder board, I answer to our elder board. Our elder board is authority over me. And there are times, and continue will be times, where our elder board says, no, 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 this is where we're at. This is where we need to go. I've learned to say, okay, I'm not controlling that. God, you've established that board. You know, I used to think about, why did you put that person on? How come this person has, no. God, you've established this. So I'm submitting to that because I know by submitting to that, you always have my best interest in mind. Everybody's under authority somewhere. Like you never get to a place where as soon as I shirk all my authority, you want to be under authority because that's what causes growth in your life. And then finally, he says this. Because if you're sitting here saying, this is way, way too hard. There is no way I could do this. That's why God's word gives us number four. He tells us that submission to Christ's example provides purpose for suffering. Submission to Christ's example provides purpose for suffering. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps. Now, as Americans, we start thinking about what's my purpose? We think about job, employment, future, finances, houses. Here's your purpose. You ready? You're going to suffer like Jesus did when you submit and do what he wants you to do. That's your purpose. No student is above his teacher. Jesus Christ entered the world naked in humility in a barn. He died naked and humiliated on a cross. He entered with nothing. He took nothing out, even though he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in all of his riches. He provided the example for you. If anybody had the chance to usurp human authority, it was Jesus Christ. Yet study his life. You'll see that he never did. As a matter of fact, he got punched by the high priest, you know, kind of smacked around by his minions and the Roman soldiers, and yet he didn't do anything. I mean, he even said, I have 12 legions of angels. I got 72,000 angels that could come at my dispatch. My kingdom's not of this world. I'm going to submit to what you're doing because this is what my father's asked me to do. I've entrusted myself to my dad. The only way you can submit to earthly institutions is if you're completely submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. He called you for this purpose. Now, we don't like this purpose. I'm just telling you, we don't like it. But notice what Paul says in the book of Philippians. He says the exact same thing. This book on joy, this Philippians short four-chapter book. Oh, it's a great book. Notice what he says in Philippians 2:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, yeah, amen, preach it. I want to know Jesus and all his power and his resurrection from the dead and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. Here's what I want to know. I want to know what it's like to suffer like Jesus did. I want to know what it's like to be conformed to his death. Because the more I suffer and the more I'm dying on the inside, the more I realize what Christ did for me. That's what I'm yearning for. And for this very purpose, if you want to know what it's like to be a Christian and you start submitting, you're going to suffer in all sorts of new ways. You're going to experience injustice in all sorts of new ways. And when you do, here's what the Lord will be saying. Now you know what I went through for you. Now you know what I did for you. I didn't have to do any of that. And because you're doing it, it's bringing me more glory. Other non-believers are seeing me at work and you're doing what I want to do and you're finding my favor and way to go. I'm so proud of you. Powerful, isn't it? It gives us a purpose for we're suffering. And you say, yeah, but I don't deserve to suffer like that. That's why God gives us verse 22. In talking about Jesus, quoting Isaiah 53, who committed no sin nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Well, I haven't done anything wrong. What did Jesus do wrong? Like, what did he do wrong? The answer is he did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. He did everything right. And yet, what do? They nailed him to a tree. They beat him severely. They spit on him. They punched him. They mocked him. But he did nothing wrong. Have you ever done anything wrong? I mean, if Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, endured all that, I mean, how much more should we expect that kind of treatment, being his followers? But notice this, verse 23. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. You ever read in your Bible that when Jesus was being mocked and spit on, that he spit back? They spit on him and he hockered back on him, said, you jerk. When people were hurling insults at him, say, hey, you got me now, but wait till I come back. I'm throwing you in hell for all eternity. You ever see that in the Bible? You ever see people when they're beating him saying, you think this is a beating? Wait till the beatdown I give you on judgment day. He didn't revile back. He didn't say, I'm coming to get you. He didn't say, you're going to get yours. Here's what he was saying. Dad, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Dad, into your hands I commit my spirit. I'm entrusting myself completely to you. That's what our Savior did when he was treated unjustly. What do we tend to do? We want to call a congressman or our attorney or write a letter or tell all our friends how unjust we've been treated. In this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, Jesus Christ overcame the world. It means this is sobering for us because when we see our Savior, we love that he did this for us. We just don't want to do it for those evil people out there. But it was those very evil people that was us that Jesus did it for, and that's why he's calling us to suffer injustice for the sake of his name. Amen? This is a hard message. I realize how hard this is. This totally goes against the grain of anything that's comfortable. And yet, this is what it does. It brings us favor with God. It silences the critic. It glorifies God and it provides a purpose in our suffering. And notice what he did. He entrusted himself to God's sovereignty. Can you trust that God's got a bigger plan for you than what you have? And notice this. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we're healed. It means not only are we trusting God's sovereignty, we're trusting the Son's substitution. Jesus died in my place so that I could have life. I already have everything I need. I'm trusting the Savior's healing. Here's a quick word on healing. Oftentimes on this side of heaven, God can heal physically. Oftentimes on this side of heaven, God can heal emotionally. Oftentimes on this side of heaven, we see different types of healing, but we don't always. But here's the promise. If you're a Christian, when you meet Jesus, you'll be completely healed. You will have no more emotional pain. You will have no more physical pain, right? You'll have no more spiritual pain. It all is gonna be healed. And by the way, even if the Lord heals you on this side of heaven physically, you're still gonna die. And even if the Lord heals you emotionally, you're still gonna deal with pain. And even if there's spiritual abuse that's happened in your life and the Lord heals you, there's still gonna be pain with Christian people on this side of heaven. It's just always gonna happen. But in heaven, a day's coming where our healer is gonna take away every bit of pain we've ever had and wipe every single tear from your eye. Amen? We can trust that. For by his wounds you have been healed. And then he says this in verse 25. For you, that's me and you, were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. It means we can trust the Lord's guiding and protecting. It means every place you're in, even the most uncomfortable of uncomfortable, even the most unjust of unjust, here's what God would say, and I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Now here's what I would say. And we'll talk about this in a couple weeks when we talk about marriage. Now, because this is what comes up in our heart. If you are being physically abused, emotionally abused, then you need to come talk to one of us as pastors. There are definitely times biblically that we are called to help other people who are suffering injustice. This message is not about take a beating for Jesus. But I will say there are other times that we're too quick to pull out, where we're in unjust situations and we pray about it and God's like, yeah, I know it's totally unjust and I see you, so stay in it because I'm building something for you. And there's a wisdom involved in that. So please don't walk away and say, Pastor Jeff told me to take more abuse. I'm not telling you to take any abuse. I'm telling you to submit to the Holy Spirit of God and to governing authorities and to any authority you have in your life and to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because he suffered. It's not uncommon that we would suffer either. And when we suffer, don't be surprised. But just know that God's doing a work in your heart to grow you as a disciple. Amen? Would you stand with me as we pray? Lord, I know the tenor of this message, it's a hard message. Lord, it's hard to preach because it goes against the grain of everything I am and everything we are as a people. And yet, Lord, it's what you're calling us to. So Lord, all we're saying is we need your help. Lord, help us become submissive men and women for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, and the final part of a message titled Benefits of Submission. If you missed any of today's broadcast or you'd like to learn more about Brave, head over to bravemedia.online. And to supplement these daily broadcasts, we encourage you to download the Brave Church app. The app will help you stay up to date with ministry news, fellowship events, and service opportunities, and you can listen to other sermons from Pastor Jeff all right from your phone. Just log into your favorite app store and search for Brave Church Denver. And before we end today's program, just want to say how much we appreciate hearing from you. If you've been joining us for these lessons for some time now, but you've never reached out, do it today and let us know you're listening. And for those of you who generously give to support this ministry, thank you for making this program possible. It's your generous, faithful support that ensures this radio ministry can continue bringing the truth of God's Word to your community and to new listeners across the country. Reach out to us today at bravemedia.online. And to give your financial gift, click the Donate tab or call us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. If you'd rather send a check in the mail, our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And again, thank you for supporting the ministry of Brave. If you live near the Denver metro area, join us for weekend services at Brave Church. You can join us for worship at either of our two campuses, Englewood or Westminster, or tune in wherever you are by live streaming our services at bravemedia.online. Just scroll to the bottom of our homepage and click the Brave Church button for all the info you need. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Join us again next time for another Bible-based message from Pastor Jeff. right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.